You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today's Friday, and normally my Friday shows are long. Today's will not, for the reason that this is probably the last show of the year. There's a possibility that Monday I could present a show, but that's rather touch and go. It depends on whether or not the adult supervision here comes in, because the engineer that's in charge of the studio is going on vacation, which means either today or Monday will be the last day. So I want to first wish you all a Merry Christmas and a very happy and successful new year. This is the last day of finals. I think most finals are over at Richland College. So students will be catching up on their sleep and then have some fun for the Christmas holidays. That's the good news. However, last show I touched on what was happening in Washington. And it's not good, folks. Because today, it's now official, Congress passed a $1,100 billion spending package. It's an appropriation bill that passed. No surprises. That's what I was talking about yesterday. But the vote was rather revealing. I've maintained now for several years that we don't really have two political parties in Washington. It's really a game. And game's not even right word. It's a show. So you get a sense that you have some influence on what's happening in Washington. No, we don't. We have two big government parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And watch out for that word bipartisan. Wherever you hear bipartisan, your pockets are being picked. Now, what am I talking about? What was the House vote on this so-called omnibus bill? 316-113. Now, if you didn't know what was going on, you would think, well, those 113 are Democrats. No. Those were the few, the proud, the loyal, fiscally responsible Republicans in the House. Conservatives, Tea Party members, the Freedom Caucus. You see, the 316 is a big number. I believe roughly 175 of those were Republicans. But you better believe the rest were Democrats. And that has been the problem now for decades. It's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Both parties now have revealed themselves. They've been revealing themselves for years as big spending parties. And the game they play is the Democratic Party is the party of the poor, the downtrodden, the little guy. And that's why they're for welfare programs and entitlement programs. Or at least that's the propaganda you hear over and over on the news media, both television, radio, as well as print media, magazines, newspapers. Although they seem to be slowly but surely going out of business, the faster the better as far as I'm concerned. Because they're largely hacks, political hacks, supporting one party, and that party is the Democratic Party. Because most of the people today on college campuses, in terms of the faculty, as well as the administration, as well as in the remaining newsrooms and television studios, are progressives. And you see it in the news. That's why I don't listen to it anymore. There's no point. I literally have to find out what's happening by going online and really looking for what is happening. I'm not going to find it on a television newscast anymore. And I rarely find it in the papers. And to the extent that it's so-called reporting, it's not. You see, there is a fine division between, at least there used to be, between people that write columns or editorials, which are doing in paper what I do on the air, namely, I'm giving you my opinion. I'm not reporting on the news, although my opinion is on news events. But at one time, we had what's called straight news reporting, just the facts, ma'am. And that's why people at one time thought the news was. Now, I'm not naive. If you really look at the history of journalism, it's never been unbiased. It's never been objective. You have newspapers that have favored one part or the other. And I wish it would, and it's going back to that, by the way. If you're a progressive or liberal, you read the New York Times, Washington Post, or you get your news from the newscast. And that way you'll get the party line for the Democratic Party. Now, some have said, well, Fox is for the Republican Party, is for conservatives. I don't think so, quite frankly. You do get a better newscast. But if you actually look at the background of some of their commentators, many of them are neocons, which I covered last show or last couple of shows. They were progressives in the Democratic Party that came over the Republican Party when George McGovern, with the assistance of Bill Clinton and others, took over the Democratic Party and swung it further and further to the left, and Obama is finishing that job. And I think he's finishing the Democratic Party, by the way. The best-kept secret in Washington, the big denial that both Democrats and Republicans have, and they don't want to tell you, is more and more people are leaving the party. They're disgusted with it. There's no choice here. And it's very, very dangerous in a number of areas. One is we cannot continue spending at the rates we are. It will end in a day of reckoning where the government can't pay its bills because no one will buy its bonds. I know a lot of people say that'll never happen. Well, it shouldn't happen. I agree. I certainly don't want the United States to default on its debt. And what I mean by that is it's already going on, by the way. People buy investments because they have a required rate of return, and they have to measure what's the risk. And in the past, Treasury securities are considered worldwide one of the safest investments. Not anymore, folks. I mean, that was the story maybe 40, 50 years ago, but not anymore. Because today, when the government can't pay its bills, it continually increases the national debt. What happened last night when the Senate passed it, the House already passed it, this bill, is we're increasing spending. We're not going to have the tax revenues to cover this spending. In other words, the deficit, we'll have another deficit, probably $400 or $500 billion. Who knows? The debt will go up, and you'll continue kicking the can down the road. I can't stand that phrase. But the people in Washington better wake up, because the American people want to kick their cans out of Congress. That's what should really happen. But I'm giving you the vote counts for a reason. And I've said this before. Those that believe in fiscal responsibility, those that believe in the rule of law, believe all laws should be enforced, including immigration law. People that really love their country and want it to remain a representative republic under a constitution. We don't have the votes. Only 113 congressmen or women voted against this bill. Oh, yes, the majority of Republicans in the House supported Paul Ryan. But I hope when they get back to their districts that the citizens, the voters in that district, give them holy hell. As I said in the title, they should be crucified for what they did. You see, it's the voters in 2010, 2012, 2014 that put them in office. And they demand results. They're not asking for results. They're demanding results and leadership, and we're not getting it. They continually are rolled by the Democratic Party. And the game they play is, oh, we can't have a shutdown. Oh, if we have a shutdown, they'll blame it on us. Let me give you a big clue. You're going to have to shut it down. You don't have the money anymore. You should be shutting down entire departments permanently. They don't even talk about that. I bring that up, and I'm a loon. I'm a lunatic. I'm an extremist. Well, let's talk about that for a minute, since it's the Christmas season. People have budgets. They have to live on a budget, and where they overspend, such as during the Christmas season, buying gifts, using that credit card, what happens in January? The bills come due. And unlike the federal government, the bills must be paid. And there are people that get in trouble. At one time, I got in trouble, not anymore. I don't have any credit cards. But at one time, I was making a good income, but I was running up credit card bills. And what happens is, if you don't watch out, you start making minimum payments. And that's sort of what the federal government is doing today. But unlike individuals, where banks will at some point say, I'm sorry, but we won't increase your spending limit. And if you try to get another card, you find out you can't get it. That's not the way Congress works. They just spend the money. Now, I didn't have the time to check it, but I'm very, very curious how much this budget, and this is an appropriation bill, which you need. You can't spend a dime without an appropriation bill. There are two parts to this. First, you have an authorization bill related to the budget that authorizes spending, but you got to get an appropriation to pay for it. The problem is they don't know what the tax revenues is, and that's hard to forecast. I'll be the first one to say, but they have people with sharp pencils in the Congressional Budget Office. I'm willing to bet somewhere between $400 and $500 billion again, and it's only going to get worse. See, there's no sense of urgency. That's the problem. Now, Paul Ryan was, and he's correct, I'm for regular order, which means you have committee meetings, and you start passing individual appropriation bills individually, not as one at the, you wait to the end of the year, and then you cut the deals. And see what's going on. You have the Democrats, the party of the poor people. Actually, I call it the party of the rich that are trying to make everyone else poor. But they get elected on what I call Santa Claus socialism. In other words, they give you stuff. Well, that's nice, and it's been going on for decades, but the bills are finally coming due. And the smart politicians are retiring, getting out of town, getting cashing in, working on K Street as a lobbyist. And I'm curious where John Boehner is going to find his employment on K Street. I'm sure he got a bonus after this was passed, a signing bonus. That would be an interesting story if we still had investigative journalism in Washington, D.C. I think a lot of people like to know, well, John, where do you work now? How much are you making? Not that he's going to tell you. I don't begrudge anyone getting as much money as he can in the marketplace, including John Boehner. And the reason why I left the Republican Party, they didn't leave me, I left them, is because when the White House was controlled by George Bush and the House and the Senate was controlled by George Bush, they did what they're doing now. They ran up deficits. Yeah, I know President Obama dramatically increased that. But a lot of that is due to entitlements and welfare programs. Now, the little game they play is the Democrats are for welfare entitlements and the Republicans are for warfare. And I've heard several of the Republican radio talk show hosts, oh, we got to increase defense spending. Oh, we just got to do it. We need a new submarine, an Ohio-class submarine. We need a new fighter. We need more ships. We need a bigger army. We need a bigger navy. We need a bigger air force. Big, 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 big. It's a dangerous place out there. Yeah, I know it's a dangerous place out there. And the other side of the aisle, oh, we need to increase welfare payments or earned income credits. Or we need another program for this or that. I was driving in and the president says, one of his achievements was there are fewer people uninsured than ever that's under 10 million. Well, that's nice. And that's a joke, folks, because most of that is people on Medicaid. They signed them up for Medicaid. What he didn't tell you, that the majority of American people were never for Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, and now they're livid because they're totally unhappy, dissatisfied with the plans they have. It's way too expensive. The deductibles are way too high, and they have a very narrow choice of the doctors and hospitals and medical providers or health providers that they can go to. And that should and will, hopefully, at some future date, be trashed. It's going to take a Republican president. Actually, what it's really going to take is another party. And the problem is you only have 113 people in the House that voted against this budget appropriate. This, I keep calling it budget appropriation bill. Now, the Senate is really just as bad. You had, again, a bipartisan 65 senators voted for this. Obviously, the leadership did, both in the House and the Senate of the Republican Party. How many senators? I haven't double checked. I should double check this, but I'm 99.99% confident. The only senators that voted against this were Republicans. 33 voted against this. What's interesting, supposedly Marco Rubio didn't vote for this. I guess he was out of town. This was too, he had something more important. This is not surprising, but it's revealing. You would have thought that Marco Rubio would have voted against this. I doubt he would have. I think if he were there, it would be 66 to 33. But he didn't want to go on the record for it, so he skipped town. And that's been a common occurrence. Jeb Bush has criticized him for missing votes. Well, this is an important vote that he missed, and it's very, very visible. But here's the sad message. 113 in the House, 33 in the Senate. You add that up, that's 146 Republicans total that voted for something that in the past all Republicans should vote against. All Republicans. The problem is we don't have leadership. And I've said this once, I'll say it many times. Most of the people in Congress are followers. They're not leaders. And I've come to the conclusion that many of these people are not very bright. Donald Trump is not being diplomatic, but he calls it the way he sees it. They're very stupid people. They think they can get away with it, and in the past they have, but the American people now are not in the mood for this garbage, rubbish. So if your congressman returns to his district or your senator returns to his district, now obviously they're going on vacation. That's why you notice they always get everything cleaned up at the last minute and then go on vacation. They knew months ago that they had to have an appropriation bill, but they want to cut their deals. We'll give you your new whatever aircraft if you give us a new welfare program. And that's the problem. No one really, except for those few in the House and the Senate that voted against this, really consider the general welfare, the common good, if you will, of the people. It's all very much, call it special interests, call it what's in it for me, but it ends up in big government that's bankrupting this country. And I have no hope and no change is going to happen until we have a real third party that believes in the Constitution and their candidates and the people they elect honor their oaths of office and start balancing the budget and start really closing departments permanently. It's not going to happen with the Democratic Party. They're beyond the pale. For all practical purposes, they're socialists. Actually, they're all, with the some exceptions, they're collectivists, they're statists. And they have their supporters in the media, and they have their financial backers. Now, today, I noticed, or a couple of days, 2 days ago, this was in the news, apparently Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the United States, very, very successful. I have a lot of respect for his track record as an investor, but he's been a Democrat for many, many years. He's 85, and guess who he endorsed? Yes, Hillary Clinton. You see, the Democratic Party, if you think it's the party of the poor or the downtrodden or the average Joe or the middle class, you're sadly mistaken. They rely on the donor class, the very wealthy in this country, to contribute to their campaigns. And a lot of the money really goes to both parties. So what you have today in Washington, D.C., in both parties, you have the corruption of the parties, the corruption of Congress, the House, and the Senate, by very wealthy campaign contributors, the owners and the executives of all the large corporations. I'm sure there might be one or two that doesn't really give them a dime, but that's rather rare. And the smart ones, they don't even pick sides. They'll give some money for the Democrats, some money for the Republicans. Some, like Buffett, will go just for the Democratic Party. A lot of Wall Street goes for the Democratic Party. If it weren't for certain very wealthy Wall Street, really when I say Wall Street, I mean the financial services sector, your commercial banks, your investment banks, your hedge funds, your investment management companies that do very well, the owners, the executives of those companies contributed to both parties. But a group of them got together and promoted Barack Obama, and the rest, as they say, is history. Ultimately, though, whose pocket are they picking? They're picking the wealthy's pocket. You see, I'm for proportional taxation, not progressive taxation. I was listening to the radio this morning, and I know he was lying, but the guy was really for progressive taxation. And he really didn't understand that. And see, Buffett likes, let me back up. Buffett likes to make the case. Well, my secretary and staff paid more in taxes percentage-wise than I did. Well, there's a reason for that. Most of Warren Buffett's money comes from investments that's taxed at capital gains rate. That's why he has a low rate. See, what I'm for is doing away with personal income taxes and capital gain taxes. Replace it by a broad-based consumer tax, and it would be proportional. Everyone would pay the same rate. But what you need to understand, if you're very, very wealthy, you're going to spend a lot more money. If you're poor, you're not going to spend that much money. You're not going to pay that much taxes. And that's the key point to understand, plus the fact, until about 100 years ago, that's the way it was. But then the progressives tried to, well, they first passed the income tax. And again, it was only supposed to affect the very, very rich. Now it affects about the top 30, 40%. And that's the problem. We have a tax system today that's legacy. And what I mean by that, it's not a tax system for an economy and industries and firms in this century. Forget about the last century. Today, you can collect taxes at the cash register. And that's what I'm recommending, that everyone pay the same percentage tax. But I'm also recommending that everyone, from the poorest to the richest, get what I call a tax prebate to pay for the necessities or the essentials of life. And no more will you be waiting in a checkout stand. And you've seen this. I see this every time I go to the grocery store. It sort of drives me nuts. Someone is getting food stamps, and only certain things qualify. So you got to separate it out, and you got two bills. With a broad-based consumption tax, everyone pays the same rate. It's 20%. But everyone would get, under my version of it, $1,000 a month, if they're an adult, to pay the taxes on the necessities of life. That would motivate people to work harder. There would be no taxes on investments. There are no more income taxes, personal or corporate, no more capital gains taxes, no more alternate minimum tax. Congress knows, House Speaker Ryan knows, that this tax system needs to be junked. But it's not. Like I said, there's no leadership, no urgency, no vision, and it's not going anywhere until you have a third party that has the votes. I said yesterday there's probably roughly 100 people in the Senate and the House that I would consider those for limited government or conservatives that believe in fiscal responsibility. So a rough indicator, and I mean a rough indicator, is this votes. There are 146. I believe in the House you need 218 votes to pass anything. The Senate, you need 60, or otherwise you're going to get a filibuster. We're not anywhere near that. If you add those two together, I use a round number. You need 300 people that are truly, truly conservative. Not that they say they're conservative. They are conservative or libertarian and believe in limited government. We don't have it, folks. At best, we're approaching half of that. You see, instead of 33 senators, we need 60. Instead of 113, we need 218. We're roughly halfway there in the House and the Senate. But it's never going to happen in the Republican Party, and that's the point I'm trying to say. The leadership is pushing this. They pushed it under Boehner. They're pushing it under Paul Ryan. And Mitch McConnell is still there. You're not going to throw you until you throw out these bums. In other words, a complete brooming. Instead of kicking the can down the road, kick these people in the can out of the House and out of the Senate. And that means you need, if I'm doing what I think I best can do, is communicate this to you. But somewhere out there, if there's someone listening, the only way it's going to change is if we have people run for Congress, the Senate, and people with money back them and get them elected so we have the votes. The votes, if you don't have the votes, nothing, absolutely nothing is going to change. This is going to ruin this nation. It's ruining it already. And the problem is we don't have much time. And that's why I keep stressing urgency. Maybe Donald Trump can kick some butt, but I don't know. I was looking at Drudge Report, and I usually see what stories he's highlighting. And Rand Paul was being critical of Ted Cruz. That's fine. They're in competition for the presidential nomination for the GOP. And unfortunately for Rand Paul, he's not doing too well. Now, I think he thinks, like many people think, well, this Trump is going to fade. He's going to stumble. I don't think so, because even if his poll numbers overstate his support with the voters, which I don't think they do, but let's say they do for a minute, Trump is still beating everybody by at least 2-1, if not 3 or 4 or 5-1. I think he's going to win the nomination and get elected. For the simple reason, the American people are tired every single year with this nonsense. And, oh, we can't shut down the government. We can't shut down the government. Guess what? I want to shut 10 departments permanently. That's just my opinion. You can't tell me that they're not departments and agencies and programs that should not be permanently shut down. They know it. They know they're wasting money, but my outrage rant on it is going to do what? Absolutely nothing. And that's the point I'm trying to make. You need people in the arena, people of action, people that are concerned for their country, to challenge every single representative and every single senator that voted this way, that voted for this. And that's a hard task because incumbents always have the advantage. There have been studies of this. Usually the incumbent advantage is worth, your edge is about 90%. In other words, this is a long shot, but you're not going to change anything until we have more people, more votes, people that will championing the people instead of lining their pockets. See, all this is about is power and money. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about power and money, staying in power. And to do that, you need money from the donor class. Nothing has changed. It's actually gotten a lot worse. And I'll tell you something. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, I don't think she will. And like I've said, I think she should be indicted. She can run, but she can't hide. Notice they're trying to hide her and shut her up. Have you seen much of Hillary Clinton in the news? No. Oh, are you aware that Saturday there's going to be a Democratic Party debate? Yeah, and the Dallas Cowboys are playing the New York Jets. I wonder what most people are going to be watching that are sport fans. I don't think they're going to be watching the Democratic Party debate. Do you think that was an accident? I don't. They're running, but they're trying to hide her. Because when she's out on the stump making the speeches, not many people are attending. They're not very enthusiastic, and she bores people to tears. She has a problem. People don't trust her, and they don't like her. Now, getting back to what Rand Paul was bringing up, but I think he went after the wrong person, quite frankly. He was making the point that, from his point of view, Ted Cruz, when he offered a number of amendments to the Gang of Eight legislation, was really for the bill, even though his amendments, and they've been described as a poison pill. Well, if it's a poison pill, you don't tell people it's a poison pill. Now, he's on to something, but he's off track. What do I mean by that? Trust is absolutely going to be a key issue, an underlining issue of this election. And that's a problem for all voters. This is a problem for me, because I'll tell Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, and Ben Carson, I don't know if I can trust you on immigration. See, immigration's a hot issue with me, and I'm not going to do another immigration show. I did part of my last show was on immigration because they're related to what this bill, this omnibus bill does. I think of it as a budget busting, more big government bill. Trust will be the issue. And I don't completely trust any of the candidates on immigration because all the Republicans are saying, well, we want to secure the borders. Well, they've been saying that for 20 years, 30 years, actually, and it never gets secured. And they don't say anything about going after the employers that are employing these illegal aliens. If you really, truly want to stop the invasion of this country by illegal aliens, you got to turn off the magnet, and the magnet is jobs. If they can't get a job, they're going to go elsewhere. If they can't get welfare, they're going to go elsewhere. If they can't educate their children, they're going to go elsewhere. You got to turn all three off. The biggest one is the big magnet is going after the employers because they provide the jobs. None of the Republicans have said that. None of the Republicans have mentioned in the debates how many illegal aliens are here. The silence is deafening. We don't want to scare the voters. You can't scare them. They have eyes. They see the illegal aliens in their community, in the stores where they're working. They're not in the shadows. That's the biggest joke con job around. They're working and living here. I live in an apartment complex. There's several illegal aliens working for that apartment complex. And they hire vendors that have illegal aliens. Can't speak a word of English. Oh, they're hard workers. That's why they're hired. But you see, all those jobs in the past, present, and future were done by American citizens, not illegal aliens. The American people are slow, but they're not stupid. And they're patient. They are patient. But they're tired of Republicans and Democrats trying to get what they call comprehensive immigration reform and keep saying, well, it's broken, it's broken, it's broken. Well, who broke it? The Democrat and Republican parties by not enforcing the law. If you don't enforce the law, you're going to break the system. And that's exactly what's happened. The very people that are telling you that immigration is broken are the very people by their actions that broke it. And they, every 2 years, if you're in Congress, they put their hand on the Bible and take an oath of office. Every 6 years for a senator, every four for a president to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. I remember I was in the Air Force. I had to do that when I was initially commissioned and when I got promoted, raised my hand. The problem is our Constitution is being whittled away and thrown in a trash can. And where it's out of control is in the spending, what I call spending addiction disorder. And it has to stop. And the problem is we elect people that tell us one thing, and when they get to Washington, usually it takes a little time, 2, 4, 6 years, sometimes longer. Sometimes they never sell out, but at some point they sell out. They forgot who brought them to the dance. They didn't dance with the ones that the person that brought them to the dance. They took the voters for granted. That's why this election is going to be very interesting. We are literally at a very important fork in the road. One way, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, and let's say the House and or the Senate gets control, is passed back to the Democrat. I think, sad to say, this country it's done. We're more than halfway down that road to socialism or the road to serfdom. If we get back-to-back 8 years of Obama and 8 years of Hillary, I think it will be almost impossible to reverse it. And in 8 years, this country would be done. We don't have to wait 15 years to see what would happen to it. And that's not a happy note. Americans have to go out to vote, but will they have a choice? If it weren't for Donald Trump entering this race, I don't think they do. They would. Remember, who was supposed to be the Republican Party candidate? Oh, Jeb Bush was. Didn't you get the message? Didn't you get the memo? And ladies and gentlemen, I think he would have been. If Donald Trump or Ted Cruz had not run, or for that matter, Rand Paul, I think Jeb Bush would be the Republican nominee. And I don't know, nor would I care, who got elected. because he's just as bad as John McCain, Dole, and other progressive liberal Republicans. So I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I am going to have to cut the show off, but look at the votes. In the House, 316, like I said, every time you hear bipartisan, you've been betrayed. When you hear bipartisan, say betrayed, and that's what it is. That's a lopsided vote, 316 to 113. But the Senate was 65 to 33. Do you have any doubts that we have a big government parties, both the Democrats and the Republicans? This vote demonstrates what I've been saying. But this is not unique. This has been going on for years, decades. I have a cartoon. It shows a donkey and an elephant picking someone's pocket. The pocket is you and me, the taxpayer. And that's what's going on. I have lost faith, obviously, in the Republican Party. That's why I don't vote for Republicans. At best, I'll vote for a candidate if I really think he shares my political philosophy or is going to do something about it. But increasingly, I don't have a choice. And I'm not going to have a choice until we have another party. And I'm not sure we're going to have one. We need one. And I said in past shows, that tipping point will be when 50% or more of the American people are neither Republicans or Democrats. And at that point, more and more people will coalesce and form a party and start running candidates that truly believe in a representative republic and believe in the Constitution and believe in limited government and believe in tax reform and reducing the burden on the American people, the tax burden, and encouraging people to save their money for whatever they want, retirement, a college education, to open a new business. Today, the problem facing the American people today is their own federal government. Reagan was right. The answer is not more government. The problem is the government. But we have another problem. The Republicans that want to always identify with Reagan, and Reagan was not perfect by any stretch, they're now all grown up in leadership positions, and are they balancing budgets? I don't see it. Are they paying down the national debt? I don't see it. Are they living within the means of the American people? I don't see it. I'm never going to see it with two parties that are fundamentally the same. They're for big government. The only thing they disagree as to what should be bigger, more welfare or more warfare, more government intervention domestically or more government intervention abroad. That's my choice. Thank you. I don't want any part of it. I don't want welfare, and I don't want America to be the world's most feared country in the sense that we're invading country after country, either through our military or through covert operations. That's not what America is about. I want peace and prosperity, and you're not going to get it as long as you have two parties that think that the solution is more and bigger government. And the only thing they're concerned about is power and the money they need to keep the power. That's what they're about. It's not hard to understand. Actually, it's very, very easy. So voters have a challenge. Who do you trust? I certainly don't trust Hillary Clinton or the Democratic Party. And I really don't trust most Republicans. And exhibit number one is this bipartisan omnibus bill, appropriations bill, that only adds to the deficit, adds to the national debt. There are good things in it. I understand that. I would hope so. Now, if you want to understand, and I'm not going to play very much of this, I want you to just listen to, and like I said, I'm not going to play the whole clip. I'm just going to start it. I'm going to sample it, but I'll tell you what you're going to hear. This is the White House press secretary really crowing, bragging, if you will, about all the good things that the Democratic Party got out of this bill.
This room about the budget negotiations. For example, over the last couple of weeks, I've been asked on two different occasions if the administration would accept any riders on Dodd-Frank in the omnibus budget bill. We did not. No riders on the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been asked twice if we would accept a rider delaying the fiduciary rule, which obviously protects retirement investments for middle-class families all across the country. We did not. No impact on the fiduciary rule from the omnibus. There was a period of time where I was asked frequently about whether or not the administration would tolerate any riders relating to allowing Syrian refugees to enter the United States. We did not. I was asked on at least one occasion last month if the administration would accept a rider cutting funding for our efforts to fight climate change. We didn't. I was asked, Cheryl, you asked at least one time, I think maybe even twice, if we would accept a rider blocking the NLRB from enforcing the joint employer liability rule, which provides critical workplace protection to franchise employees. We did not. I was asked on a couple of occasions, including Mr. Dorning, about whether or not we would accept a rider repealing the medical device tax. We did not. I was asked on a number of occasions whether or not the administration would accept a rider repealing the Cadillac tax. We did not. There was a period in time earlier this fall in which I was asked frequently about whether or not the administration would accept any riders related to funding for Planned Parenthood. We did not. I was asked, I don't see John Giese here, but he had asked about a specific rider relating to the IRS and an audit of Planned Parenthood. We did not accept that rider either.
That's just the sample, and it continues, by the way. I cut it off because, frankly, what this is the White House and President Obama doing a victory lap. So you tell me, do we have two parties that are big government parties? The answer is yes, yes, yes. You can't miss it. Paper or plastic, Democrat or Republican, those are your choices. That's the way the system is set up, and neither party is going to let any other party challenge it unless the American people challenge it. And it's not going to happen, frankly, until over 50% of former Democrats and former Republicans start backing a viable party. And that means money, time, votes, candidates, people getting out the message. And that's a huge, huge challenge. Because who do you have against you? Colleges and universities, mainstream media, both the Democrat and the Republican parties, and the donor class, the people with the money. It's not going to happen in one election cycle. This has been going on for approximately 125 years. At one time, government in the United States in 1900, at all levels, if you measured it in terms of real gross domestic product, was approximately 10%. I'm not against government. What I'm against is big government. Because where you have big government, you lose your freedoms, and ultimately it's corrupted because that's where the money is. Today, government is over 35%, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if the Democrats had their way, it'd be quickly 50%. And the Republicans are just helping them. No balance budgets, just more and more appropriations, more and more deficits, more and more national debt. Kicking the can down the road, kicking the American people in the butt. Wake up. Kick these budget-busting bastards out of office because they're picking your pocket. They're limiting your freedom. They're spending your money, and they're laughing at you. And I mean they're laughing at you. These are the elites that think they're the best and brightest. Are they thinking about the common good? No. They're thinking about the people that put them in power and donate, contribute to their campaigns. These are career politicians and the parties that elect them. So you have a decision. You can stay home, and I think a lot of Americans are going to stay home. But this next 2016 election in November, less than 11 months away, is important. I don't know if any candidate on the Republican side can stop this. And I don't trust them. And that includes Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, as well as Donald Trump. There are too many people in the past that make promises when they're running and they quickly forget them. Marco Rubio is a good example. And many of these candidates are lawyers and talk both sides of their mouth. They use weasel words. They're too smart by half. Immigration is a hot button for me because I know it directly impacts the American worker in terms of jobs, in terms of income, in terms of the American dream and opportunities. It has to be, these big government parties have to be stopped. Donald Trump may be able in a small way to stop it, but he's only one person. And that's the point that needs to be emphasized. One person, whether it's the President of the United States, House Speaker, or House Majority Leader, are not enough. See, at one time, Paul Ryan says he was a conservative. He's no longer a conservative. He's dreaming if he thinks that. He's part of the problem. Reagan was right. Government is the problem, and it's worse. We need leadership, and that's a rare commodity these days. We have a deficit that includes leadership as well as the national debt. And I didn't even mention unfunded liabilities. That's the major problem. So I want to conclude the show again by wishing you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, a very prosperous New Year. If the studio is open Monday, I'll give a show. But if it's not, that's why I wanted to wish you today. Because many talk show hosts, they go on vacation. I understand that. When I was in financial services, I took off too. So visit your family. Give everyone a hug. Do the right thing. Be concerned. Be active. Be informed. Be an American citizen. Be proud of it. And with that, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.